The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Back here and analyze this. And before I bring in Zen O'Bean to join the conversation here this morning, some programming notes for tonight. Well, first of all, at 5:30 this evening here on WTJX FM, we got the Commissioner's Corner with Commissioner Deanne Wells Hedrington for the Department of Education. Okay, so she's going to be on this afternoon at 5:30 here on the radio. And then tonight on Channel 12, the PBS News Hour at 7 p.m., Finding Your Roots at 8, join Henry Louis Gates Jr. as he goes on a nationwide search to solve mysteries for three families. And then at 9, we got Julius Caesar. What? Okay. Explore events beyond Caesar's control that threatens to unravel his plan and leave him isolated. That's from 9 to 10 p.m. The Invisible Shield comes on at 10. Learn how data collection has been an essential public health tool for centuries. And then Avampour & Company from 11 to 12. We got time now turn forward. Okay, so the News Hour at 7, Finding Your Roots at 8, Julius Caesar at 9, The Invisible Shield at 10 p.m., Avampour & Company at 11 p.m. That's on Channel 12. And then at 5:30 here on WTJX Radio, the Commissioner's Corner with Commissioner Deanne Wells Hendrington. So, Doc Skoll, quickly, and Dwayne, before I bring in Zen O'Bean from the EPA, the legal issues for the president, at some point, they're going to either be insurmountable or he's going to come out like a champion. Doc Skoll first, and then Dwayne.
Listen, I am looking at the jury system, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the former president's strategy too, is to corrupt the jury pool.
But yesterday he wanted to move the case to Staten Island, or no? He wanted it in Manhattan.
But that's what I'm saying. So he is pulling out all the tricks. So using the jury system and corrupting the pool, he might be able to beat these charges based on the jury selection and I think that is what he's playing. And
But that's what he's trying. But yesterday something happened in New York where the appellate court denied him in less than 2 hours.
Yeah, but I'm saying the jury that is going to sit on at his trial.
Yeah.
Is what he want. He want hang juries all the way.
Without a doubt.
You understand?
And yeah. He don't want the trial in Manhattan, which is Democratic. He wanted in Staten Island, which is Republican.
Yeah. I agree. But even in Manhattan, when you put a jury together, because I'm looking at the question to the jury and the counsel could speak to it.
Antifa and QAnon and Brotherhood and all kinds of things.
All of these things in there. So you sneak a couple. You get a couple of people in there in the jury who is sympathetic to him.
Yeah.
That's the strategy that he's moving to right now. Well, he can't do anything else.
We're going to wait and see what happens. Dwayne, a final word?
Yes. It didn't work in the last two trials in Manhattan. It's not going to work in this one.
Okay.
The thing is, one of these trials is going to stick. Trump, there's no way Trump walks away from all of this.
You think so?
Something has to stick. There's too many. Let me tell you, if he beats all these cases, then they need to go ahead and just dig up John Gotti grave, and you know, because he was the Teflon Don.
One of our good friends, I refer to him as El Diablo.
Well, he is the devil.
That's what I'm saying. El Diablo might have that power to do that.
But Docs, and I'm going to wrap it up on this note, there's a reason why he won these cases dismissed. That evidence that even if you win in the court, you win and in trial, the court of public opinion is what he there, you know, because you're running for president. I always remember that. Gentlemen, thanks a lot, man. Good boy. See discussion this morning.
Right,
appreciate
right,
it.
Take care.
Got it. All right. That's Donald Duck School, the handle out of Rock and doing Henry joining me for some Bush tea this morning. Now, partner from the West, Zeno Bean.
Good morning.
Morning. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you, as always.
You're based here now?
I'm here.
You've been here, right?
5 years.
Yeah, okay. That's good. That's good. How the territory looking, man, from an environmental standpoint?
Well, that's a difficult question. There's a lot of issues, I think you know.
Yeah.
And there's different issues between the different islands.
Yeah, by the way, I apologize. Introduce yourself to the audience, name and the entity you work for.
Zeno Bain.
And the region.
Yeah. Zeno Bain. Work for EPA Region 2, based in New York, and the Caribbean Environmental Protection Division, based in...
And Region 2 includes?
Region 2 includes New Jersey, New York, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands.
Okay, good. So Pennsylvania and Connecticut are not a part of Region 2?
That's Region 3.
That's Region 3. Mm-hmm. Okay. But New York is Region 2. Our biggest issue...
Yeah, and Sustainability Advisor is my title.
Sustainability Advisor. Okay, good. Let me ask this question, right? Of course, the big issue was the refinery, right? That was a big issue. But as someone who works for the EPA and looking at the environment, our shorelines and all that stuff, just give a general perspective on where we are and the little things that we could do to make the big picture even better. Because we're into sun and sand. Our existence is predicated on a clean environment because we're a consumer-driven economy.
Yeah, there's so many things we can do, right, to protect the environment. And I think the community thinks about a number of these things. For example, sustainable materials, recycling,
yes,
composting, reducing what goes into our landfill, which is not a landfill. It's not a proper landfill. It's not lined, right? So I think the territory would like to build a new landfill.
That's
in the plans.
But that's a political issue there. There's a political dynamic involved there as well.
We have a consent decree, right? The landfill was supposed to be shut down some time ago. And
Where were you in 1996?
1996, I was in college. I was at...
And we were having hearings with the Department of Public Works with that landfill from in the mid-90s.
Right, it's been so long
we've
directed the closure.
On the St. Croix side, at least, for sure. Yeah.
Right. Well, both have issues.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, right, the 96, we were working on closing that landfill.
The concern was birds flying up into, potentially flying up into planes because of the proximity of our airport next to the landfill here on the Dungay Anguilla and the south central side of the island.
And I know waste management, if they were here, if waste management was here, would talk about the steps they've taken to reduce that, to solve that problem, like covering the waste and finding new materials to cover it. So they have taken steps.
So they've done some work.
They've done some work, definitely.
Okay, that's good. That's good to hear.
But the big, looking forward, the big thing is building a new landfill. And again, the whole community has to be involved in diverting waste, knowing not to throw everything into the landfill. We're an island. We don't have... Nobody wants a landfill in their backyard, right? But if we run out of space, you have to develop a new landfill. You have to put it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And we're already at a difficult decision point of where to put a new landfill, right? There's not that much space. So I won't go into where the thoughts are, right? That will be discussed in Waste Management Authority. They're thinking about those options. And there is funding available. They're seeking funding to build a new landfill.
Correct.
So that's just an example of, helping the government, right? As citizens, we kind of divert waste and know not to throw certain things in the landfill. If we can compost vegetative debris, that typically fills the landfill after hurricanes.
Without a doubt. We had a sargassum issue. It looks like it's not prevalent right now. Is this a seasonal thing with sargassum?
Yeah, seasonal, definitely.
Okay.
I don't have the months,
but
it's typically in the summer months.
Summer into the fall.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So now we learn about that. So having that data, that information, what can we do from a preventative standpoint? Is there anything
actually
one
of my colleagues is a Cajun heritage, and she is currently at University of West Indies working on sargassum research.
That's
she just started that a couple of weeks ago.
Mm.
So she's connecting, and learning from the other nations and islands, and a lot of countries, a lot of agencies are interested in this sargassum issue. From there's many questions, right? How to use it beneficially.
So it's continuing education going on there.
Yeah, continuing research.
Yeah.
I think the big question is how can we use it beneficially?
Okay.
Right? That's probably because we know if you put in the landfill, if you put it certain places, it combusts.
Mm-hmm.
It will. So there's certainly some beneficial use that we can find for it.
Main priorities for the EPA right now as it relates to the Virgin Islands?
There's so many priorities. I think the priority is to really hear from the community. At this point, we have, so my main purpose, right, this morning is to announce again, we have, and we've been doing several community meetings, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
We have another one on April 18th, next week, Thursday, at 5:30 at the Justice Building in Lorraine, next to the post office.
Okay, yeah,
near
yeah.
the post office.
Yeah.
Buildings down. It says Attorney General Building on the front.
Yeah. It's actually past when you're heading, in this case, you're heading north on North Shore Road, leaving Via Lorraine. After you pass the post office, there's a Justice Building after that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we have a community meeting at 5:30 next Thursday there.
And that is to discuss?
To discuss anything the community would like to discuss, answer questions. This meeting is in collaboration with DPNR, Waste Management Authority, and WAPA.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives the community an opportunity to get their questions answered and also raise.
So next week, Thursday, you said the 18th?
The 18th at 5:30.
Okay.
The last few meetings were focused on refinery issues, as you said, and the lead and red-brown water issues. So we'd like to step back and give the community an opportunity to raise other issues.
So the 18th community meeting at Justice DOJ Building in Lorraine?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay. And you just basically want the public to come out and...
come out and discuss, you know, your concerns. A lot of work has been done and it is being done.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives WAPA, Waste Management Authority, DPNR, an opportunity to answer some of those questions,
mm-hmm.
as well as EPA. We've also... trying to assist the territory and have a number of funding options as well to assist. But we'd like to, you know, have that conversation with the community.
What's the deal with the lead issue that I was monitoring for a good portion of last year?
Yeah, WAPA will be out to give an update on that. And I know WAPA has been doing several outreach events to keep the community up to date.
Mm-hmm.
So this is another opportunity for WAPA to update the community. But WAPA has been taking steps to replace lead components, improve monitoring, and so forth.
Mm-hmm. What about time of St. Thomas, St. John's site?
They're considering that as well. I don't have the update right now, but they had planned to do some monitoring in St. Thomas and St. John mm-hmm. as well. So I think that's a question.
What about EPA as it relates to looking at St. Thomas and St. John?
We had a community meeting in St. John on February 29th.
Okay.
Which was interesting. That was my first in St. John.
Yeah.
First community meeting.
Yeah.
Really hear some of the issues and you see the differences in the concerns.
Mm-hmm. How did that go?
What
did you hear from St. John? From St. Johnians?
Some of the big issues are around development, coastal zone,
mm-hmm.
Permits, you know, who gets to build what where.
Does the EPA have the ability to communicate with the Department of Interior as it relates to the Park Service, because the Park Service has such a large footprint at St. John?
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And we've been meeting with the Park Service about some of the concerns that were raised related to the Park Service. One was the asbestos at Caneel Bay
mm-hmm.
that's sitting there from debris from past hurricanes and their
Over 6.5 years now.
So they've completed and removed that
okay, that's
debris
good.
Or they're in the last few days or this week.
Okay.
It's right in that time, but we've been having the conversations around the proper disposal and the concerns from the community that they don't want to be exposed to,
mm-hmm.
right, any asbestos material. A big issue in St. John, switching topics, is the water quality, the boats.
Yes.
That was raised, and the infrastructure for the boats to dispose of waste.
Mm-hmm.
Right, the requirement. That's
a legitimate concern.
Yeah, they have to go 3 miles, nautical miles offshore to mm-hmm. dispose waste. So if they don't have another way to dispose, if there are no pump stations.
Okay. Now, let's talk Charlotte Amalie. High density area. What is the EPA looking at when you have a a demographic like that, with all that stuff concentrated in a small area, buildings on top of buildings, a lot of people there, a lot of disposable stuff going on.
I mean, some of the similar concerns when you have more population, right? Waste. We haven't had a community meeting in St. Thomas yet.
Mm-hmm.
So we plan to do one soon as well. So I'll be interested to hear the specific concerns for St. Thomas. But I imagine some of the similar, what we've heard definitely across all three islands, waste management in general, how we're handling waste. One another one in St. John was the wastewater. I would expect to hear similar concerns in St. Thomas as well, because I know there's some issues there. But a lot of it has to do with waste management.
Y'all got a good relationship with the Waste Management Authority?
We do. Yeah, we do, definitely. And I don't mean it as a problem, like that's an issue.
Yeah, as far as, I know what you mean. Yeah.
But that's some of the questions from the community. Right? How are we handling the waste or, you know, leaking pipes, wastewater pipes. And of course, the drinking water is also a concern.
Yeah. Zeno, let me ask you this question. As an environmental professional, what would you encourage our young people? I like to ask professionals about our young people from the perspective of if they would want to get into a professional career like yourself. What would you encourage someone who might listen to this podcast? We want them to be in, like when we were growing up, we want them to be in school learning the lesson out, right? What if they was to hear this podcast and they say, well, I want to be like Zeno Bean. What would you suggest for our young people if they wanted to get into a career like where your professional career is right now?
Yeah, I focused on my background. I was interested in the environment, and I think just appreciation for nature and the environment. I grew up in a rainforest and really appreciate it once
because
especially
I could say
once
no,
I left.
Right? I could say no, right? As I, you know, I just had a birthday. I just made 60, right?
Happy birthday.
Right, last month, right? I wasn't as in tune to our environment like I should have been when I was younger. You know, and I wouldn't want our, I know everybody want to go to the beach, you know what I'm saying? But you got to protect the beach. You check what I'm saying? And that part of it, I wish like I was a little bit more in tune to that. So what can we do? I know you do, you have the community meetings and all that stuff, but what can we do to get people more appreciative and defensive as it relates to protecting our environment? Education?
Education, definitely. More educational outreach starting young, right? Teaching kids and students about it at an early age and the uniqueness of our environment. Like I said before, you know, you really appreciate it once you leave and you miss it.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Once you miss it and you're in the States and you're in the cold and in
concrete
jungle then you realize what you have at home.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Yeah. So growing up in the rainforest had an unquestioned impression.
Yeah, and I still didn't fully understand it, right? At 17, 18. Mm-hmm. I was just like, okay, I was good in math. I appreciate it. Environment, and I decided to do engineering. Environmental engineering made sense for me, but I didn't know all of that I was stepping into, right? All the issues and all the work involved.
Yeah. And we'll take a break now, wrap up this conversation when we come back. Next week, Thursday, 5:30, Department of Justice Building on St. Croix, community meeting, EPA doing this on a consistent basis, reaching out to the communities, and hopefully they'll get over to St. Thomas as well. Be back right after this.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday. In these divided times, what could be more important than a conversation? Conversation with someone we don't know, someone we think we know, someone with whom we disagree or think we do. Join us as we ask questions of politicians, ranchers, parents, athletes, activists, gardeners, writers, and lots more. Then listen along with you.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Music can be an incredibly personal experience. A song can inspire you, it can comfort you, it can make you feel understood, it can even take you back to a specific moment in your life. And it all begins with the artist. Join me, Raina Duras, as I get personal through in-depth interviews with your favorite musicians and find out where those songs come from on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
The PBS NewsHour has a rich legacy of in-depth reporting and strong storytelling.
Only four people have sat in that chair before us, and the enormity of this moment is not lost on me. People turn to us because they know they can hear from trusted sources of information and news.
That won't change a bit, even as the faces behind the desk change.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Bennett.
And I'm Amna Nawaz.
Weekdays at 7 p.m. on WTJX TV, Channel 12.
And we're back here to analyze this, and I'm talking with Zeno Bain. He is from the EPA. He's a sustainability advisor. That's what I said, right? Right? Not, he sounds like a commissioner, but he's not a commissioner, right? So Zeno, one of my listeners said, well, why focus so much on a landfill rather than reuse and recycle and ship most of the refuse off-island to companies that can reuse these items? Barbados seems to have a great waste management program that we can imitate, considering how much we ship out into the territory, but don't ship out. Before you answer that question, right, I want to mention Barbados, and we mentioned education, right? Barbados seems to be more cutting edge than a lot of the other neighboring islands in the Eastern Caribbean. It's not an accident, right? University of the West Indies, I believe the main campus is in Barbados. If you think Barbados, it's actually that, right? So that's a classic example of how education actually allows you, you know, if you really commit to it, to be ahead of the curve and not behind it. You follow what I'm saying? So, So because solar, right? They were one of the first back in the day, right, to fully commit to solar. They were even bragging at conferences. The amount of money we saved is like printing money. The guy literally said this at a conference we were at, a Caribbean Basin conference we went to in December of 2005. In Miami. I've never forgotten that. It really impacted me. So we talk about education, waste management. You mentioned landfill, and we're looking at a potential new site, but the suggestion here is reuse, recycle.
That's definitely the priority. So I agree with the comment.
Okay,
right? Definitely, we first need to reduce, reuse, and recycle.
Okay.
So in that order.
Yeah.
Right?
When you talk about companies that specialize on that, so what would we do? We'd be packaging what we want to recycle, and we're shipping it off island for them to do what they got to do.
Well, ideally, it's a lot of things to consider, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know DPNR has considered shipping bottles off island, for example, and there's a number of considerations and challenges with doing that. So ideally, if we can have some of those resources on island to recycle.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, the first step is not putting the stuff in the landfill, right? Reducing what you use, reducing waste, reusing reusable containers, you know, not single-use containers, for example. So it comes from the community as well, taking steps and then setting up mechanisms to reuse the material. If you don't have to recycle it, that's less expensive. You can just reuse it for some other purpose. And then lastly, recycling. Recycling is pretty expensive. So it's difficult to get that.
Expensive on the front end or expensive on the front end and also to maintain?
Expensive, yeah, on the front end and to maintain. You need enough material in a lot of cases.
Okay, so it's a volume.
It's a volume consideration
dependent
as well.
Yeah.
Right, to support purchasing, making those capital investments to purchase the equipment. But definitely we're thinking about that. I know, again, DPNR, for example, has been thinking about how to reuse the C&D debris, the construction and demolition debris, concrete. We were talking with BVI, Waste Management Authority, the other day.
Okay.
And talking about tires and what to do with the same problem we're having here, they're having there. Can we combine in any way? And we learned that Jamaica or Trinidad, Jamaica is looking into ways to recycle. We've seen some use of recycling the tires into cement, mixing it into the cement.
Okay.
So as an example, learning more about that. But we try to learn more about these different approaches to reuse and what's the best way to reuse the material and recycle the material.
I used to work at another radio station 25 years ago. Technically 24. 2000, first year of the new millennium. And then former senator, and he became lieutenant governor, Asbot Potter, was working for a company called, and I just look it up here, because I remember, Carib Waste Technologies. And they were suggesting gasification. Now, do me a favor. Define that for me. You know anything about gasification?
I meant turning it into gas.
Turning it into gas, right?
But
But
what were we turning into gas?
Eh?
What was the recommendation to turn into gas?
It was about waste.
Just turn the waste.
Just turn the waste into gas. You check? But it wasn't so much about the process that I wanted to ask you about. It's about something that you just mentioned there, volume, right? Because we asked about recycling and it's volume dependent. And we're a small community, and every time somebody would want to come or make a suggestion about something novel or whatever, there's a, why us? Are you experimenting at us? You check what I'm saying? Is that always a legitimate question from the standpoint that we want to embrace technological advancement, but at the same time, we got this reluctance as a people because we are afraid of the worst case scenarios that are very, very prevalent on social media and all that stuff. How do we balance that? How do you balance that from an EPA standpoint, trying to get the public to understand, you know, there's a happy medium if you really work at it?
I mean, you need to research. You need to research to understand the safety around any new technology, right? So it has to be tested, and you need all as much information as possible to make that decision. And just to say,
when dealing with a small community like ours, it's different compared to that concrete jungle that you're talking about, where you're on the mainland and you got what, like in the New York City area, you're in Region 2, New York City, you got 20 million people living in a 250 mile radius. When you factor in northern New Jersey, the city,
right,
Suffolk and Nassau County, Westchester County, parts of Connecticut, you know what I'm saying? Whole different dynamic.
And I was just going to mention, as a side, I'm not saying we can't test these technologies out here. There's, for example, there's a new business I know that's recycling plastic, right?
Okay.
In, on the west side. And they started up last year. Mm-hmm. So I think they're still getting the word out and trying to collect more material to justify it, right? Mm-hmm. And they probably have a small system. So they're testing out, to your point. Starting with something small, testing it out.
That's the best way to go.
Right? Trying to expand it, making sure they can get enough material to recycle. Mm-hmm. But there's always new approaches. You know, it's not just recycling the bottles to make more bottles. Maybe you could recycle into something that's more expensive, a more expensive product. So you're starting to see some of those things. There's always a new way to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, making a point, you need the information.
The information and education. Without getting too technical, is there anything generically about the refinery situation that the environment, the EPA is dealing with, and to keep us aware
of
what
we did an inspection recently, and we will discuss the results of that inspection on this Thursday. There's a separate virtual meeting. We have regular virtual meetings for the refinery.
That discussion will be between who?
That's with EPA and the community. Of course, the territory agencies that usually participate are invited, but primarily that's a conversation with EPA, updating the community on the results of an inspection.
No. Quickly, something just came to my mind. The administration was saying that the testing as it relates to the lead revealed that there may have been an exaggerated amount of lead that was made public in terms of the actual impact of what was going on in our communities, or that was just perspective, a difference in perspective and processing information.
Yeah, it's where you test, right? It's essentially what's the main concern is what's getting to the tap, mm-hmm. what the person's exposed to when they open the tap.
Yeah.
And where the original tests were done at the meter, right? Not at the tap.
Okay.
Further down. And there's an opportunity to have higher levels. We all knew that at that point, that you could have higher levels of lead, mm-hmm. right, at that location. And that may not be what the
higher levels will be at the meter as opposed to at
the... meter had brass components.
Mm-hmm.
And the main point is seeing when you open the tap, what you're exposed to at the tap. So we knew it could be higher based on testing in that location, but out of abundance for caution, right, the first step was to say, we have these high levels and let's do further testing to understand what the consumer is receiving at the tap, mm-hmm. essentially.
You've spoken with Carl Knight?
Not recently, but yeah, during those, he's been on.
During that window and all that stuff, because, you know, he's very knowledgeable. You know, he's an engineer as well. Civil, I think he's a civil engineer. He may not be a environmental engineer, but a civil engineer. And, you know, he has a good ability to process information. What's the relationship with the department, our local energy office?
Well, great relationship. I think last time I mentioned that energy office, they just got awarded a grant. We announced that on that last week of February that they got the climate pollution reduction grant,
mm-hmm.
the planning grant. There's two parts to that, the planning and the implementation. So they got the first step to plan for climate pollution reduction. So mm-hmm. they're applying. The deadline is May 1st. So they plan to apply for the implementation piece.
Yeah, we do a power hour with them every month, the first Friday of the month. This month actually going to be the whole 2 hours. It'll be this Friday. So okay. We're going to have them on. And we got a good relationship with them.
Listen.
Okay. As a matter of fact, listen. I think you were part of a discussion we had with them. You were here with Kyle Fleming one time? Or you had just left and he came in?
Maybe,
or the reverse?
He passed.
Yeah. We got a good
relationship. I know I've been in here with we'll join the refinery cleanup.
Yeah.
With Vitima and DPNR mm-hmm. and others. Yeah.
You an eternal optimist, man. You think we're gonna be out here in St. Croix and the Virgin Islands as it relates to our environment and the EPA support?
I think we have to keep working at it. You know, the steps, we have. There's a number of issues, but the community continues to raise them. You know, we talk about them. We work with the territory and try to address these problems.
The Bavoni landfill, we didn't bring that up. What's the deal with that? Based on what you've seen,
it's the same. As Anguilla,
you know, they had a fire issue over there,
right?
Last year, and Puerto Rico came in and helped us and had helicopters and all that stuff. Yeah. But so they
have stopped accepting vegetative debris for now.
Okay,
in St. Thomas, I don't know if they've changed that, but at least that was a week or two ago. That was the status.
Mm-hmm.
But same thing with Bavoni needs to expand, right? So it's running out of space, just like Anguilla. So to the earlier question. As far as focusing on a landfill, we still need a landfill.
Yeah. Right?
Even if we do all these steps to reduce the amount of waste going in and we recycle.
You still need some place to receive.
We still have waste, right, that we need to put into a landfill. And the current landfill.
But that landfill over there, that's a marshland area over there.
It's a dump, right? It's not lined. So it's not protecting any leaching leachate from going into the environment, the waters,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's not a good thing.
And the landfill that we got down here in St. Croix, we got Mangrove heading down Mannix Bay and the bayside there by the racetrack. That's a mangrove lane, so to speak, heading down all the way.
Yeah,
down
that whole side right there. I know that South mm-hmm. Shore is a lot of mangrove.
Yeah.
Which have been impacted, I know, by
industry. We got so much natural beauty in this place, though, but Zeno, man. I mean, you live in the rainforest, so you got great appreciation for you raised up in it. But for those of us who live in the middle of the island and ain't really, except when we got to the beach, we actually did one of our shows. We had a on location show up at Cremers Park the Thursday for Easter weekend, and Commissioner Calvert White. From Sports Park and Recreation. He co-hosted with me. And he actually educated us from the shoreline 50 feet in. That's DPNR.
Okay.
Right? And then from there is when we're his agency. Because they got all the...
Yeah, it's all his jurisdiction. Like I was mentioning the boating issue in St. John. You know, we met with Coast Guard and talked with DPNR. Okay, who is jurisdiction? Mm-hmm. Who can do what?
And not only that, but moorings.
And again, it's education.
And you got moorings. And I got to keep an eye on the moorings issue and all that stuff. Because there's a cap, right? There's a limit on the amount of moorings you could put in a particular area.
Yeah, we didn't even... getting to that point.
Yeah, so but that's another issue as well, right?
Right, because there's a number of boats in these these bays, right?
Did you get down here during the pandemic at any time?
Yeah, I was here since 2019.
Okay,
I've been here
because you know that people have moved down here, and because they couldn't go down island, they set up home in the Virgin Islands, and all our different shoreline areas. That in the winter time, which is normally barren, people they got a yacht them set right. up ready. They were living here, right?
Right. Yeah.
Right. So that was interesting. Because we started the show. We got our anniversary coming up on the 27th. Okay, we started the show April 27th, right? And
That's what we normally see in St. John, right?
Yeah.
All the boats, but
yeah,
we're saying that
yeah.
here.
And when the pandemic hit, right, middle of March, and I'm a sports junkie, so I had no sports to watch on TV, so I was lost. So I was going through some depression, right? So I'd go up to Lagoon and surf, park up, surf the net, and I tell this story ever so often. I would look down and I could see King Christian Hotel from Lagoon. And then I noticed I couldn't see King Christian Hotel. And then it didn't dawn on me. These were yachts people had set up home here. Mm-hmm. So I get out. We do the radio show now, late April. And a lady sent a text message. And she literally educated me. She said, we normally head down island. But
right,
we were banned, right? So we had to set up. We've been here in the Virgin Islands and we listened to NPR and all that stuff. I was feeling good in that regard, you know what I'm saying? But it was interesting how this thing really impacted how people lived their lives, even for a 3-4 month window.
Yeah, definitely. We saw people had to post up in the beaches here.
And then I got pictures, Megan's Bay.
Yeah, well, they were overloaded in St. John.
Full of boats. The waterfront in St. Thomas. Loaded. Then they had me to know, Neville, you need to come Frederickstead. The boat them down there. I know the boats are up here in the Lagoon area, but it was
interesting. Yeah, I saw them in Frederickstead. I'm on that side. So I saw them.
Wow.
All the boats. Because that was the last place they had to go.
it had no go to St. Lucia and Dominica and that kind of thing. Yeah. No come. You know what I'm saying? So that's why
having all a situation like that, having all these sort of rules in place. Mm-hmm.
And resources,
yeah. Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. To accommodate all these boats, and you can only imagine the waste,
It's interesting how they made this decision of their own volition. It wasn't like, can we come? They're like, no, we come in, and this is where we stayed, you know what I mean? So that was interesting. Hey, always good to talk to you, Zeno.
Yeah,
next week Thursday, 5:30, the Justice Building in Estate Lorraine.
That's right.
And that would last about 2 hours, right? No, normally those...
Yeah, usually goes over a little bit based on questions.
And that's for anybody to come in to express.
Anyone to come in, please come in and raise your issues. I've heard many of the issues being doing different tabling events, but it's much more efficient to come in and speak in a setting. And have everyone in the same room and be able to have the conversation about
Nancy's questions. General Bean from out of the West. What school they went to again? MIT? Went to MIT?
MIT.
MIT, yeah. So I just wondering if you were being one of them schools that were in the NCAA tournament. That's the reason why I asked that question.
Yeah, MIT is not.
but Yale's starting to be in that. You know what I'm saying? So we're good. We'll take a break and come back right after this. Always great to talk to General Bean out of the West. Go to Hope Falcons. Be back right after this.
Stay updated with news, alerts, and other valuable information with WTJX Newsfeed. Get the latest news stories that matter from veteran news journalist Tom Ader. Just download the WTJX app or online, WTJX.org. WTJX Newsfeed, your source for stories that matter.
Phones, social media, you've kept up with the times. If you can do that, you can definitely save for retirement. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in just 3 minutes, you'll get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
I'm Aisha Roscoe, host of Weekend Edition Sunday, where we're not just interested in what's going on in the world, but why it's happening and how. Details are important. So are different points of view. We're dedicated to bringing you the stories behind the big events and the small ones, too. Join us every Sunday morning for Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition, Sundays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. You spent the week listening to the news. Don't you think you deserve to show off what you've learned on Wait, we give you a chance to impress your friends with your knowledge of international incidents, political gaffes, and the latest advancement in German nudists. You'll be the life of the party or the death. Either way, you'll make an impression and you can thank Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Sometimes you need a moment to just step back, relax, and listen to your favorite song. I'm Raina Duris, and on the next World Cafe, maybe I can help you find something new to love, or maybe remind you of something you've been missing. There's so much music out there to enjoy, so take a moment, take a breath, and tune in to World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
And we're back here and ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank Zeno Bain from the EPA for stepping in and giving us an update. They got a meeting coming up next week, Thursday, April 18th at 5:30 at the Department of Justice in Lorain. Now, we're going to shift quickly to the Law Enforcement Planning Commission. Director Molito Smith is in the studio. He got his deputies sitting here and they're stocked in Peel Rider. they got the guns in the jacket. You know what I mean? The only thing is that one day Clint Eastwood take all of them out. So, I'm not Clint Eastwood, so you gonna be all right. Molito, good to see you, man.
Always good to see you, and
congratulations, man.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, how long have you been with the LEPC now?
January 17th would be my start, so I'll say I'm coming close to my 90-day mark.
90-day? And how's it been?
Extremely good. What many don't know is that a lot of folks know me from healthcare. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks know me from human services. And in human services, we did a lot of juvenile justice work, YRC, et cetera, et cetera. But my first passion is actually criminal justice. One of the core concentrations of my studies. I did a lot of gang intervention work in Southern California.
When the Bloods and the Crips.
Well, I actually went to college at the University of California, Irvine.
You went to Irvine?
Yeah, which is...
Anteaters?
Anteaters. Peter the Anteater. which is really...
You were there in the early 80s?
There in the early 80s when everything was jumping off in South Central.
When I first got cable TV, 1981, they had a dude named Kevin McGee.
Kevin McGee.
He was a bad dude to play basketball for the University.
That was when no one really knew what Irvine was.
Exactly, but he put it on the map.
He put it on the map.
Actually out there, right? Heading towards San Bernardino?
Actually, no. It's in Southern Cal. It's between L.A. and San Diego.
So it's not the river. No, that's Riverside I was thinking about.
Well, Riverside is what they call the Inland Empire. But what you're thinking about is Santa Barbara.
Santa Barbara,
which is going, further out.
I was between L.A.
and San Diego.
Irvine. Okay, cool.
It's about 45 minutes to an hour or two.
Yeah, Randy Mastin, I went to school out there. Yeah. I went to school out there.
Actually, believe it or not, he and I went to school together.
Right. So that was Irvine, right?
Terry
Agard?
Mastin was one of the few folks in Irvine, other than myself, that was actually from the Virgin Islands. So we connected on a lot of different areas.
And I was having this conversation last week. Back in the day, UVI wasn't even a consideration.
No.
When all of us graduated from high school back then, we wanted to leave the island.
Yes.
I'm glad to hear now that a lot of our Virgin Islanders, our high school kids, they consider UVI first. Then leaving the island afterwards.
Actually, I encourage everyone graduating to look at UC. I'm sorry, look at UVI as a first option.
No, no, trust me. When I have a lot of the schools, the juniors and seniors here and they're graduating, a majority of them are saying now, I'll be attending UVI.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. And I think it's commendable. It's come a long way, as with many other things in the VI. You know,
but that's part of planning.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Educational planning. So, and you're in the planning business now, right?
Yes.
Define the LEPC. What's the role of the Law Enforcement Planning Commission?
Well, the law enforcement, by statute, the Law Enforcement Planning Commission is the chief advising entity to the governor for all things criminal justice. So one of the main areas of its concentration is really on data, strategic planning, data collection analysis, strategic planning, supporting programs and initiatives that promote safe communities. The juvenile justice component under the Title II funds is under LEPC, what we call the State Advisory Group. LEPC is also the fiscal agent for Project Safe Neighborhood. Many folks have heard of PSN, Project Safe Neighborhood. It's really a function out of the U.S. Attorney's Office, but the fiscal arm is managed by LEPC. Well, one of its other roles, key roles, is that it serves as the state administering agency for all of Federal Department of Justice funds that come through the territory. So there is probably about 10 to 12 different formula grants that come through the territory. That's administered through LEPC, and we, as a state administering agency, serve as de facto the Department of Justice in the territory on behalf of the Federal Department of Justice.
Okay, good. By the way, you want to introduce it?
Yes, definitely. Before I do...
They said they're not talking. Let me know if they're talking. So
They've all been trained in sign language, so they could give me the different signals in terms of if I'm going astray.
Yeah.
Before I do the introductions, I want to just say generally good morning to everyone. Good morning to listening and viewing audience. Good morning to my wife. I always make sure I give the wife a heel up. Good morning to my wife. And now...
That's good.
Now to the folks to my immediate right. Ms. Sherry Abbott has been with LEPC for some time. She serves as the Federal Programs Coordinator. She's the number two person in our shop and supervises our grants management component. We have, currently we have two grant managers that handle, and she herself handles some of the grant management functions. Ms. Carmen Potter, he serves as my executive assistant and office manager, and I guess a lot of people call that role a gatekeeper. So she makes sure she keeps the wolves at bay, at least until you know the Pale Rider folks show up. So she's no stranger to government, but has come back into government to work on my with my office in March.
Beginning of March.
The time is moving. Time is moving.
What's on the horizon?
Well, I in addition to you know what we just described, yesterday, April 8th, LEPC had issued public announcement for three funding opportunities through the Justice Assistant Grant Program, the Edward Burns Memorial Grant Funds, and these. In total, they're about $1.2 million combined with the three different grant funding. The cycle will go through till May 20th, a six-week period. These funds, now, just a little history on the Edward Burns funding. You're from New York, as I'm from New York. A lot of folks don't know I was born in the city of Brooklyn. Yes. Back in the 80s.
Brooklyn ain't got nothing to Harlem.
Well,
we're not going to get to that right
now. The jury's out. Anyway, back in the mid to late 80s, when the crack epidemic was at its height, you may remember a case in Queens where there was a young man, a police officer, 23 years old, whose name was Edward Byrne.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it. Yeah.
And Byrne was doing protective patrol of a Guyanese family who had gotten, and who was to basically witness protection. And he was killed by in gang members.
In the line of duty.
In the line of duty. Well, the Edward Burns Memorial Fund is actually named on his behalf.
Okay.
And initially it was funded for law enforcement activities dealing with drug intervention, drug reduction, and so forth. But over the years, it has expanded to many other things. So included in these core areas are things to do primarily with law enforcement. All entities of law enforcement are able to apply, as well as community and faith-based organizations who do crime prevention activities. So anything that is funded through any PPC must have a criminal justice hooked to it, must have a criminal justice nexus. So what we are hoping for is that for this funding opportunity, we're close to summer, and we're close to school starting up. Before you know it, it's school starts up. So if there are community-based organizations who are interested in doing summer programs and after-school programs that have a law enforcement nexus to it, I encourage you to apply. The funding isn't primarily for community-based programs. There's a carve-out that's set aside by statute for community-based programs. So we're looking at between $10,000 and $40,000 per project for community-based programs who do summer programs and after-school programs.
How many projects you got capacity to support?
Well, there's always more applications than there are projects. So, So one thing that I've done since coming on board is that we've established an independent application review committee made up of a diversity of folks from the community who will be reviewing all of the community-based programs. Okay. So we encourage you to apply. It may be a situation where the funding may not be there to cover all of what you may do, but if it's a viable project, it's something that we'll look at and perhaps give some suggestions as how you could tweak it.
What's the deadline?
The deadline is May 20th.
May 20th, okay.
Now, in the next 2 weeks, which is April 22nd, we have another five RFPs coming out. And those, four of those would be specific to violence against women and victims of violent crime. Four of those would be that, and one is more specific to the Department of Corrections, this residential substance abuse and treatment grant. But those will be coming out April 22nd, and we encourage the same thing. We encourage
the RFP going to be out on April 22nd. The
RFP for those will be out on April 22nd, and there is just about $1.2 million or so of combined funding under those RFPs. So it's not tremendous considering the need in the community, but it is sufficient, I believe, to at least begin to have folks look at resources to support their programs.
The agents, your agency, you're fully complimented?
Actually, no. We're in the process of having those discussions. You may remember way back in the day, LEPC had about 25 to 30 plus employees. Mm-hmm. And part of that was, you know, law enforcement. I'm sorry, the Narcotic Strike Force.
Correct.
It used to be under that.
NSF was there.
Yeah. So over time, all of the law enforcement specific entities moved under the police department. The planning, data collection, grant management area stayed with LEPC. Currently, part of the reason why I'm here today is that we are going to be looking at reestablishing a presence on St. Croix.
Okay.
There hasn't been really a presence on St. Croix for some time. Mm-hmm. So until we
want to get into that. That's a special discussion.
Yeah, maybe our next discussion.
It could get personal with me and you. And they got ladies here, so I don't really want you to delve into that directly.
Yeah, we are looking to have our staff rotate to at least twice a month to begin with until we get St. Croix staff.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that
if you were to put a percentage on being fully complimented, where are you now?
I would say that we need about overall throughout the next fiscal year, and over, I say we need about six employees.
Six more employees.
Yeah.
And that'll get you fully complimented?
That would be the full complement of what I believe would be most efficient for what we need. So we're in the process of having those conversations coming up. One of the next areas I think that we really want to look at is a data analyst for the agency.
Okay.
You know,
that's always good.
Yes, definitely. So, and you know,
well, that's the premise for our show. So that's the reason.
I'm biased
in that regard.
You know, the there is, and has always been a not the best use of the best information readily available at the times when people needed to make good decisions.
So, our
discussions over the years, you know, that we're on the same wavelength when it comes to the data and analysis and using it. But the data is one piece. The next piece is really using those data and getting things done.
But performance.
Performance and impact.
Mm-hmm.
Performance and impact. So, so that's what we're looking at.
So we got Carnival coming up. Another 3 weeks. Another 3 weeks to a month. And then after that, you should be ready to
Ready to flow.
Yeah.
We've already, since coming on board, we've already, you know, done a number of ground laying for where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we've streamlined our grant funding management cycle, and this was the first of the offerings that will be in that streamlined process. The second thing we've done is that, you know, we've begun to meet with each of the key stakeholders around collaboration and data collection and, you know, leveraging resources, because there's never enough money for crime prevention.
When's your budget hearing?
June 25th.
June 25th.
Yeah.
Okay, good. And that's Senator Fred Gregory.
Yes.
In the Appropriations Committee.
Yes. Okay, so looking forward to that.
Well, look, man, first of all, congrats.
Thank you. Greatly appreciate
the appointment and you and your staff, and looking forward to see big things coming out of the LEPC, which is primarily a grant entity in addition to initiatives that will deal with intervention, reduction of the ills that impact our territory, and focusing on our young people.
As well as supporting a better coordination of law enforcement across the board.
That's what the Planning Commission is all about. Sorry, I didn't get you on earlier. But you're coming back again.
Yeah, we'll be back.
I appreciate that.
So definitely be back.
I want to thank Ms. Abbott. Glad to have you here. And Ms. Potter. I'm saying, that's what I'm talking about. And congrats once again.
Thank you.
And
greatly LEPC, appreciate it.
And looking forward to talking with you in the future.
Thank you. And good morning to my staff still on St.
Thomas. Yeah. I always do that.
Good morning to everyone.
I want to thank Zenobain for joining us. And thanks to Donald Duff School and doing Henry for some Bush tea discussion in our number one, as well as Glorianne Rivera from the National Weather Service. Be good and be safe. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
So I spent the past year trying to figure out what news designed for 21st century humans might look like. One of the things that really stuck with me was that we now know that humans actually need hope to get up in the morning. And I don't think as a journalist I ever thought about it that way.
We're always looking for new and better ways to understand the world we live in. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
As the news gets more complex and changes through the day, you need more than just a quick headline check. Here and Now keeps you connected to your world between Morning Edition and All Things Considered, as the news and the people shaping it are changing in real time. I'm Robin Young. Follow along on Here and Now, NPR News weekday afternoons.
From 2 to 4 on WTJX FM, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.